today. I know that you're going to move. I know that you have something in store for us today. Jesus, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, everybody say amen. Okay, you may be seated. You're lucky that the Holy Spirit lives within me and gives me discernment, because I wanted to read the entire chapter of Deuteronomy 6. And I know for a fact, our limbs right now, they're a little bit weaker than normal because we got some turkey in our stomachs, or stuffing if you prefer. I don't. So I'm going to say turkey. I hope all of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know for a fact, for me, it was wonderful. Throughout my life, I've been called a litany of names. I'll say a couple and see if you can gather what the recurring theme is. Short stack. Short stuff. Bowling ball? Little guy. Short fella. Little man. That's just a couple of the names that I've been called throughout my life. The recurring theme is, they know I'm a man. Come on, y'all, that's as good as it's getting. I say that, of course, joking, but also that is just the reality of the nature. Although I've grown up, I'm fully grown. I didn't grow up very much. With that being said, I've also been called a couple of other names throughout my life. We'll see if you catch this one. Noisy, loud, extroverted. But I prefer, I don't think I'm a noisy, loud, or clamoring person. I think my English teacher told me that one, clamoring. Sterling, you're a clamoring spirit. Oh, okay, sorry. I would like to say I'm lively. I would like to say I'm full of passion. I'm a passionate person full of zeal. But a couple other, that this one's been a recurring one. This one is said throughout every phase of life that I've stepped into, and that is a piece of work. And you know, and it's funny because then it starts to get a little bit more serious whenever more words are added to it. So when people say, Sterling, you're a real piece of work, then I know things are teetering from funny and lighthearted to a little bit more serious. But the best part is when they require me to acknowledge that I'm a real piece of work. They say, you know, you're a real piece of work, Sterling. You know that? Officially, all cards are off the table and it is no longer fun for anyone. But I've come to say today, all of y'all are a piece of work too. And I say that not being facetious or rude in any manner whatsoever, but it's just human nature. It's just who we are. It's sort of a defining trait of ours. We are human. That then makes us a piece of work. My case in point today, my example, is none other than the newest addition to the Bowden family, the wonderful, beautiful, cute bundle of energy that she is, Renly Kate, is my example today. Yesterday, we were able to visit with my dad's family, and we were hanging out with my grandmother, Nana Kay. That is whom I will refer to her as, so get with the system. It's Nana Kay. That's my grandmother. So we're over at Nana Kay's house, and we're getting ready to leave. It's time for all the end of visit, you know. What is that called? I guess whatever you're supposed to do before you leave, you know, say bye, love, hugs, kisses, all that. And my grandmother, being the smart lady that she is, I believe Kylie cues it up and is like, Renly, hug your grandmother. And Renly, that little fireball, my goodness, I don't know where she gets it from, but she goes, no. Well, I'm not going to re-say that. Someone said mother. But Nana K, being the smart person that she is, she cues it up. Kylie cues it up. Don't you want to hug your Nana K? And before Renly can answer again, Nana K goes, no. And instead, she comes over to me and she hugs me and says, oh, I love you so much, Sterling. And she hugs me. Well, Renly, seeing that, goes, Renly's like, I want some of that now. Well, Nana K, she just can't stop at one. I mean, she's got what she's wanted, but she can't stop at one. So then she goes and hugs my dad. Renly, even harder and even livelier, goes. And Nana K doesn't stop there. She goes one more to Kylie and says, oh, I'm hugging on Kylie. I love her so much. And Renly is about to throw a fit. Her arms cannot get wider apart. And so finally, Nana K hugs her and loves on her. But that's just us. We're so full of work. We're so full of flesh that we're like, well, I don't want that. Until then, we become envious or jealous. And so every single one of us is a piece of work, not too dissimilar from clay and pottery. And so, because of that, I thought, what better thing to do than compare ourselves with a lump of clay? So if you would, please indulge. The first process of getting clay and getting it prepped to become a piece of pottery is getting the clay. You go out in the wilderness, you find a piece of clay that you like, and this is what I would call our honeymoon phase with Christ. Because he picks us up, he takes us from where we're at, and honeymoon phases, I know they're 95% good, but there's still the 5% where it's like, okay. And that part is he has to clean you up a little bit. So he picks up the clay. It's got some rocks. It got some dirt in it. But he washes it out. The potter washes it out and molds it and then sets it on the table. It's now ready to be used. This is no one here, of course, so just know I'm just saying this for sake of the matter. But sometimes this can be where the clay becomes unwilling. Because they've already seen how different they are. The clay's already been, I'm not where I used to. Who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Oh, man. We serve, I would not say a powerful adversary, Brother Brad, but a tricky adversary. I think maybe sometimes we give him a little too much credit in the power department, but when it comes to sleight of hand, he's the master of it all. Because what the enemy will try and get you to do when you're going through this process of becoming a piece of pottery, becoming a part of the master's collection, becoming the master's piece of work and not just a piece of work, is he'll say, man, you got to do a lot. You've really got to stay in shape. You've really got to whip yourself to make sure you're falling in line with his word. And you know what's funny is the Israelites thought the exact same thing. Because in Deuteronomy 6, you'll see why I wanted to read so much of this chapter. Is because if you keep going a little bit further on, he's already said you were serving someone else. But he says, it is the Lord your God. This is verse, we're just going down a couple verses, 13. It says, it is the Lord you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God is in your midst, and he is a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he will destroy you off the face of the earth. You shall not, listen, this is it. You shall not put the Lord your God to test as you tested him at Massa. If you're familiar with the story of Massa, I'll tell you very quickly. This is Exodus 3, I believe. The children of Israel are set free from Egypt. They're set free from Pharaoh, and they're leaving, and they're now in the wilderness heading to the promised land. Let me refresh your memory real quick, because this is a critical part of this story. They had already seen a staff turn into a snake. They had already seen locust fill the city. They had already seen a sea part in the middle for them to walk through. And it didn't just provide a path, but then it also killed its enemy. They had seen this, y'all. But at Massa, what this refers to in Deuteronomy 6 here is, they're talking to Moses, and they say, what are we doing wandering in the wilderness? It would be better to be in Egypt. Sorry. This is where they tempt God. They said, Is God not with us? What? You once saw a sea part in half. I thought the coolest part was honestly the staff turning into a snake, but you saw water split. And they said, is God not with us? Moses, what are we doing out here? And if you think the Israelites are crazy, then we've got to take a look in the mirror. Oh, because so many times we will have the exact same thing happen in our life. We were diagnosed with cancer and now we're cancer free. And then we get a little bit down the road and we say, God, are you not with us? Come on. Some of you weren't supposed to even have kids. And then you have a kid and then you get further down the line and you say, God, are you not with us? Some of us were in a financial stronghold and we didn't know how we were going to get ourselves out. And then we get out of it and then we lose the money again and we say, God, are you not with us? What the problem is not because the potter hasn't changed. No. What happened is you went from hallowed to hollow. What happened is you said, I revere you, God. I love you, God. Holy are you, Lord. And then he came through. And then you said, God, where are you, Lord? Oh, you're not that great. Someone, you got to stick with me on this, because if we're not careful, either the spinning will make us be unaligned with God, or the dry season will make us be unaligned with God, or the season where we have blessings will make us unaligned with God. Oh, yadalaya. And that, holy are you, Lord, turns into, who are you, Lord? And what really happens, Deuteronomy 6, the foreword of Deuteronomy 6 is, this is brilliant, Brother Brad, this is all God. That's why I can say it's brilliant. It says the greatest commandment. So you know what I think the greatest commandment is? I know it's to love God with all your heart. I know that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not contradicting the Bible. And the second is to love your neighbor like you love yourself. I know that. But in Deuteronomy 6, I'm looking. What is the greatest commandment, Brother Brad? And what I think it is do not forget the Lord. Oh, man. Because what you can't love something until you know what they're about. You can't truly be infatuated. I can think Angela's beautiful, yeah. But as I've got to know Angela, that's what made me love her. I know her mannerisms. I know her characteristics. I know a lot about Angela. That's what made me love her. But if I forgot just a second, because life got busy, because life got full, which is good, or life got hard, and I forgot all the things that Angela had done, that she'd done, that she'd been through, and I forgot what she'd done for me, and I forgot what she was about, I may just say, she's pretty, but I don't need her. So many times we do the exact same thing, Uncle Jonathan. We won't remember that he appeared to us as a burning bush. We won't remember that he brought us from the Egypt and brought us from Pharaoh's command. We won't remember it. We won't remember that he's the lover of our soul, the master of it all, the author and the finisher, the only wise God. There is none comparable to him. The beautiful one, the King of kings, the Alpha and the Omega. Need I go on? I ask you today, church, do you remember who he is? Because we cannot let our hallowed become hollow. Because whenever that happens, we become unaligned with God's word and we become unwilling. And if we're going to do that, we may as well just burn up in the fire like our enemies. Musicians can come. And you can play something lightly, whatever you feel. But I come to you in the spirit of Paul this morning, writing in Romans. And I'll read it in a couple of different versions so the point comes across strong enough. We'll start with the KJV. How about that? I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me say it in the NASB for you, just so the point truly gets across, and because I know that beseech you can really throw people off. Sorry, ESV first. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. NASB uses a different word. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, I present your bodies to a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I promise you, I don't come here today as sterling as this some kid who's just trying to arouse a crowd or trying to hype up a crowd. This is Paul saying it to the church. He says, I urge, I beseech, I appeal, I wish, I pray, I hope, I beg, I inspire, I encourage. He says, whatever it is you want to hear, I'm here for it. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is what? Your reasonable service. I don't think God asks too much of us, Emma, especially for what we're given. And ultimately, at the end of the day, Brother Brandon, we're gonna serve someone. So why not serve the master of it all? Why not serve the lover of your soul? Why not serve the God who was thinking of you while you were still in your mother's womb? Why not serve the God that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and then gives you a million stories in the Bible that shows that he's not going to leave you nor forsake you? Why not conform to the image of God? If you would, let's all stand. These altars are open. I ask today, the same as Paul, present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is simply what you were made to do. After all, he gave us this life. Why can't we give it back to him? My only ask today is that you would not forget Jesus. My request, my appeal to you today is that name would still hold the same power it did when it saved you out of darkness. My wish today is that you would remember at all times that his name is holy. That it is the only name given to us whereby we must be saved. I beseech you, church, to remember the peace, the joy, the love, the hope, the beauty I just dare you to think of a time where you were at your lowest or you were at your darkest, and God didn't come and wrap you up with big arms, or he didn't urge someone to send a text message to you. I ask today that we would all remember the man, the God who robed himself in flesh, Brother Cody, and he hung on that cross when he was perfect. And he sat up on that cross, and before he got up there, he said, nevertheless, not my will, God, but yours be done, nevertheless. Singers may sing, this altar is open.
Say the same, for I want to. out your prayer one more time.
Control or he has no control. Amen. There's no such thing as I'm giving God 10%. It's either all or none. Amen. And God wants all of you today. Amen. Thank you, Brother Sterling, for a great word from the Lord today. Amen. Hallelujah. And again, I want to say, if you're a guest, Sister Amber, so good to see you. She had surgery last week, praying for her. Amen. But if you're a guest today, thank you for coming to the UPC of Paris. And our prayer is always that you leave better than you came.